It's good to see everybody today, and we are going to have our baby dedication at this time. And so I'm glad that everybody came, and for you that are, these folks are coming, and they'll take their place right here in the front if you'll just kind of spread out, and I'll come down on the floor in just a minute. But I just want to remind our church that this is not a baby sprinkling. This is not any decision that our babies are making. These families are coming this morning, and they're presenting their children to the Lord, and the parents are making a promise to the Lord. And so I want all of you to be able to just kind of know that today and the promise that they're making. And again, I'll just say this, and I'll read the verse to you from the Bible. If you have your Bibles, and these folks know this that are in the front, but I'll just read this to you from 1 Samuel chapter number 1. If you want to take your Bibles there this morning, we are kind of picturing here, this is a vow that Hannah makes unto the Lord. We realize from Psalms 127, the Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. We don't often understand or think about the word heritage, but that word really just means that it's our inheritance. That God has been a good thing to us, and God has given us a heritage or an inheritance for all of us. It's a namesake that will live past us. If you are a grandparent of one of these children in the service this morning, or family, would you please stand? We want to recognize you before I read the scripture today. You can stand. There's a few more. If you're a part, if you're a grandparent, parent that are already standing, or a family member, if you'll stand, we want to make sure that you have time to do that. All right. Amen. Let's give Grandma and Grandpa a hand as well. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And then, so in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, let me just say this, that Hannah is making a vow to God. She has been without a child, and we don't have time to read the entire story this morning, but she makes a vow to God. Samuel doesn't make a vow to God. Now, Samuel is a miracle child that God will use in his work because of the vow that his mom makes. And we believe that even this morning, as each one of these parents and their children, they're making a vow to raise their child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want you to see here in verse 11, it says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now we realize that God does answer Hannah's prayer. She does wean the child Samuel, and she gives him back unto the Lord. And for all of us this morning, these children that are represented here are young people that these parents are coming, and they're really just saying, "God, we know we cannot raise this child. We can't do this without you. And we're making a promise to you that we're going to raise our children and nurture admonition of the Lord." But they're really presenting their child to God and saying, "God, if you will help me raise this child is yours." They realize that God gave them, and it's an investment. So I'm going to come down this morning, and we want to make sure we do several things. Just kind of let you know the families that are here. Thank you, guys, in the sound room. And these families that are here, I'm going to go ahead and read them by name. My wife, if you'll come over here, and let's go ahead and give them their Bibles this morning. And we're going to present them with their first Bible from our church. And I'm trying to find what I have done with all their names. Can I have your list, Miss Parsons? Because I don't know if I left. I left it up there. Thank you, Brother Burt. You tried, but my wife was faster than you. All right. In order from this side over here, we have the... Say your name for me so I don't mess it up too bad, brother. Say it again so I don't... Kristen. Not Kristen, your last name. Ariza. All right. I knew that, but I didn't want to mess it up because there was a chance there. Kristen and Lydia there, Ariza, and then Leo and Cinta Carranza there. And we'll give all the children's names here, Courtney and Shane Johnson. And then we also have Aaron and Susanna Sigmund. You may remember them. And they've been here since Bible college for a while. And then Mrs. Streeter. Amen. And we have each one of the children here are Dylan and Ethan. All right. For our first family, and then Sierra Carranza, and then we have Shayla, is it Shayla? Shayla, okay. I didn't know I messed it up. Thank you for being so kind to me. Silas, amen, and Isaiah and Josiah, and both of them there, yes. And so these are our children, and these are our families, and the
the prayer that they're going to pray and we want you to pray as a church is that they're going to raise their children and nurture in the admonition of the Lord. And that first of all means in church. That second of all means in the Bible. Okay? And third of all, that means that they're going to raise their children in such a way that they're going to, again, they want to keep them the protection of God. That means they're going to give them to God. And again, if I could just say it this way, with my family and as our church, that means giving God the benefit. God, whatever your will is in my child's life, that's what I want. And so today, each one of you families, do you commit to that this morning? Can you signify that with an amen? All right. And so what we want to do is I want the church to pray. And I'm going to pray this morning over these young people and ask God and these parents. I want you parents each to pray right now with your family. You kind of huddle them up and lay hands on them and ask God and tell him that vow that you make this morning as you dedicate your children to the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear God, we come to you this morning inside your house. God, amongst the family of God, and these families have brought their children, and God, today, these children don't realize how much of a vow their parents are making. And Lord, we do realize, and I believe the families this morning realize the great endeavor that they set out upon, Lord, as they dedicate these young people to you. God, like Hannah of old, God, we make a vow today as a church, we make a vow to help them raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As each family vows for themselves, Lord, to bring their child to church, to keep their child in the Bible, God, to give you the benefit of the doubt in every area that you would take care of their kids and they give them back to you. God, we lift them up to you this morning, each one of these families. God, I pray that you would be with them, strengthen them and help them, Lord. Give them guidance in the areas, in the tough times, in the storms of this life, Lord. I pray that you would be magnified in the lives of these children and families. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God bless each one of you. We're going to get a picture. So what we'd like for you to do is come right over here and stand, and we're all going to get a picture here. God bless you all, your family. Johnson, we're so glad you came forward this morning for the Korea. God bless you. God bless you. God bless each one of you. Thank you so much, amen, for being here. We're going to come right over here, and we're going to stand together and get a picture. Miss Parsons, what do you think you're doing? You can't get out of the picture. Come on over here with me. Amen. And the church said?
Amen.
Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, that is the future of our church and ministry, is it not? Amen. And at this time, we have our young ladies from our college going to sing a special for us.
Said my
Bibles this morning and go to Mark chapter 10. Now, I want to make a deal with you today. If I get you out of here on time, I'd like to see you at 2 o'clock. Amen. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and make that deal with me today, because it's going to be hard work to get you out of here on time. But this morning, I do want to chop a little bit out of the message and just say this, that let me say today we do celebrate life. We believe that life starts at conception. And I believe that we're not alone in that. Most, and not just believers, people that have two brain cells to put together, realize that even if they don't believe that life starts at conception, they at least know that we mark death when the heart stops beating. And so folks that aren't even believers like us and understand that there's a holy God in heaven, and when conception happens, God has begun and made a life. Even people that don't believe that if we're going to mark death at a heartbeat, that we can mark life at the heartbeat. And folks, I'm just going to tell you that we got to understand that, you know, it's not that hard. This is not a controversial issue. This is an issue over people wanting to say that they have the liberty or the right to kill life. And folks, our Constitution does not give them that right. Our Constitution gives the right to life, liberty, and what? Pursuit of happiness. Do you know what the first draft of the Constitution said? It didn't say pursuit of happiness. Because that's what most of them think, that they have the right to kill their baby because they want to pursue happiness. The first draft of our Constitution said the right to own land. And I wish they had left it in there. Because right now, folks, I don't want to get off on it, but you know the government thinks they own everything. Because they changed that one statement, they didn't give us a right in our Constitution that the property that you know that if they had left that in there, they couldn't even charge us taxes on our property. You know why they charge you taxes on your property? Because you don't really own it. Try not paying them and see what happens. They'll come and take it back. He said, "Preacher, don't meddle." I won't. I got to get you out of here in just a couple minutes so you can be out there at 2 o'clock. The title of the message this morning is this, and I want you to listen in. And I don't know, you know, the first mention of any word in the Bible is very important. And today the title is just going to be this. I want to go over a simple thought and something that every one of us have probably heard. And Jesus makes a statement in Mark chapter 10, to suffer the little children to come unto me. And the word suffer in our day and age is used in a different light than it is in the scripture. And from its first mention, it is a different word. And it's meant to be this, to allow, to permit, not to forbid or to hinder. And the word itself today, when we think of suffer, we think of suffering, pain, agony. And the definition can be used that way. And by the way, I'm not going to be coy because I don't have enough time this morning to be coy with you. Just let me tell you, for children and for you and I to be able to come unto Jesus Christ, suffering had to happen. And the one that said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," had to suffer and pay and open a way so that we were not forbidden, so we were not hindered to come unto God, so we could take our place, if you could say that, in heaven because of what God did for us. We didn't earn it. Jesus earned it for us. Now, I want you to look at the passage of Scripture, and I was intending to begin in John or Mark chapter 10 and verse number 1, but I can't do that this morning, so we're going to skip down for time's sake. Jesus is being tempted by the Pharisees in this passage of Scripture on the subject of divorce. Moses wrote a writing of divorce, and I don't want to get off, but in this passage of Scripture, Jesus deals with the subject of divorce, and he just says that Moses, he uses the word multiple times. Look at the scripture, if you would, with me in verse number 3. "And he answered and said unto them," after the Pharisees tempted him in verse 2, "what did Moses command you?" What are they holding to? Moses' law. He said that they ask him to give an answer, and he says, "Well, what does the law say?" And they knew what the law said, that the law, and he's going to tell them. Let me tell you what Jesus says in verse 4. It says, and they said, Moses suffered. Did Jesus use that word? Is that red letter in your Bible? Is that what the Pharisees already knew about the law? They knew that Moses suffered or allowed it. God didn't pen down in his law that he wanted people to be divorced. When God, Jesus and God, who is God, is going to make a statement that what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. He's going to make that statement, and he's going to go as far, and he's just going to say, listen, because of, in other places, he's going to use the term, because of the hardness of your heart. He suffered this. But he says, and they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Folks, I'm just going to tell you this morning, I realize inside of a building like this, many of you, either before salvation or because of some other situation in your life, but I'm going to tell you right now, whatever God has put together in your marriage today, you ought to determine that God doesn't want that to be separated. God doesn't want that to break up. That God is not for divorce. There is a precept here in the scripture, but I'm just going to tell you right now, what God intends for us to become one flesh and stay together. That's God's will. That's his purpose. Is that the way it always happens? No. We realize we live in a sin-cursed world. And sometimes because of sin, things happen in this life. And I'm just going to tell you that, again, I don't believe this morning, because I'm preaching this, that anyone that's divorced is a second-class Christian. Please don't take the preaching that way. I don't believe that. I don't preach that. That's never my intent. But I have to preach the Word of God the way it's written. And I have to tell you the honest truth, that God doesn't will that. God didn't want you to do that. That happened in your life. And the best thing all of us can do is put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and determine to take this marriage and this thing that God has put together and go forward in faith and hold it together. My mom and dad taught me that marriage is work. And it is. My mom and dad used this terminology. You got into the boat, now row it. And I've learned this, like any other relationship, it's what you make out of it. And I'll say this, you can suffer or you can suffer. You know, that definition has multiple meanings. That means you can allow it to be the greatest thing that God ever put together. The greatest institution and what God meant it to be. Or you can decide to be right all the time, man. And suffer. Amen. And I'm not putting it on the ladies today. I'm just telling you, we decide to suffer or we allow. We just decide we're going to have a good marriage. And I suffer it to be a good marriage. Do you know, for all of us, God, listen, if God could save my eternal soul, then he can give me a good marriage if I let him. If I decide to do it God's way and I let God have reign over my marriage and my heart and my life, then God can, if he can save, save me from all my sin, then what could God do with my marriage? Because it's going to take a lot more spiritual, supernatural power to transport this soul from the place that it was determined for in hell because I'm a sinner, and to trance me to heaven, than just to work inside this human life and this marriage and give me a good marriage. God desires, and think about this, if he can make me one with himself, then he can make me one with my wife. He can make my home united. If he can unite the church, he can unite a home. That's a truth God lays out for us. I want you to skip down with me and look. He doesn't just stop there. He makes sure that we know along the way. And listen, nothing is in this book by accident. Verse 6, but from the beginning of the creation made them male and female. Right in the midst of all that, listen, we don't need to be confused about what genders are out there. From the beginning, we've known what's out there, what God made. All right, we don't have to be confused. We don't even have to preach it hard. We just got to remind everybody that the Bible has always been true, and it doesn't matter what everybody else tries to pervert and change. The Bible is true, and every man will be a liar when they go against God's book. God made them male and female. You are not going to find anything else out there that don't fall under that category. Now, they may claim it, but that same crowd is leaving anything else, and now they're moving into, I'm a cat. They don't even, listen, they don't even want to be something that's in between. They want to be something else. So I'm just telling you, you're going to follow them or God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to take him at his word. And then he gets down to the nitty-gritty of it. I want to show you this, and I just feel like he says here, he says in verse 11, and he said unto them, whatsoever shall be put away, shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. That's what the Bible says. Look at back at verse 9. I'll read the verse to you. I've already quoted it. But whatsoever, what therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. It just lays a foundation for us and helps us realize exactly what God wants to do. But then it says in verse 13, and they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Can I just submit to you this morning that these young people, that, you know, just like adults, and we have a prayer list full of people, that prayer list is not just subject to adults. There are young people that have, problems and hurts, and, I mean, they're broken. Some of them needed a touch of God just like the adults did. And when moms and dads and maybe bus workers and Sunday school workers all tried to bring these little kids that they saw suffering to Jesus, he said, the disciples, they were what? Supposed to guard Jesus. He don't got time for the little kids. We've got to take time for them. We don't have time not to invest in our children. We have a Christian school, and man, it's work, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. Because if we can raise up a generation that knows God and follows him, it's worth it. It's work. Folks, we have a Sunday school and a bus route and all these different things because it's worth it. Jesus, listen, anytime somebody says, we ought to get rid of the bus ministry, it's too much work. Listen, the slogan that everybody ought to give is the answer that Jesus gave, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Do you know what it would be to shut the bus ministry down? It'd be forbidding young people to come unto Jesus Christ. You say, preachers, they don't just come in the bus, they come in your car. Mom and dad, you ought to be ashamed of yourself if you decide to stay home instead of bringing your kids to church. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Every morning that you wake up, do you feel like coming to church? No. And you may think, I know where I'm going. I don't need to go. But what about your kids? What about their consistency? What decisions are they going to make for the rest of their life? I'm just going to tell you today, folks, we need to put this in perspective and understand it. But I read the word suffer, and I had to read it again. The definition again in the 1828 dictionary is to allow, to permit, not to forbade or to hinder. And I began to look at this, and I thought, man, what a powerful truth this is. These young people needed to come to Jesus, and the disciples thought, Jesus has got too many CEO things to do for the church. He's got great throngs of people, and these kids aren't going to bring an offering in. These kids aren't going to do anything for the bottom line. These kids aren't going to do anything to help grow the church. They're just a drain on it. I hope you don't think that way about our children. Jesus rebukes his disciples and says, you let them come. He says, you allow them to come. You permit them to come. Don't forbid them. Don't in any way hinder them. Folks, you say, preacher, why are you preaching? This is Life Change Sunday. Once our children, listen, we're not just against people aborting a child. I'm against somebody abandoning a child. I'm against somebody saying I'm a good parent and lets their child raise themselves. That's what the epidemic, we not only have an epidemic in our country of abortion, we have an epidemic of people letting kids raise themselves, do whatever they want, watch whatever they want, go play whatever they want. We need parents to be parents again. We need to suffer them to bring them to Jesus Christ. I don't want to be coy anymore with you. I just want you to be able to understand the first mention of this passage changed what it meant to me. And I hope it does to you. Will you turn to Exodus chapter 12 with me today? Exodus chapter 12. Does anybody know what's going on there? Exodus chapter 12 records the Passover. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lamb that would be slain for the foundation, from the foundation of the world, for all the world. In Exodus chapter 12, all the order of everything's being set. Egypt won't let God's people go. And God does something powerful to get his people out of Egypt, to bring Israel out. And all of the firstborn in the entire nation, not just Egypt, but this is going to happen. You know, a lot of the plagues only happened to the Egyptians. But this one was calling out God's people and saying, this is something, God is going to send a death angel. And he's going to pass over the entire world. It's not just going to be for the Gentiles, it's also going to be for the Jew. And if you, the only way to escape is to lean or to look to a lamb and its blood on the doorpost, picturing Jesus' blood and what Jesus would do for every man. And I want you to see in the passage of Scripture, I don't have forever to lay it out for you, but he says in verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the side post of the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." That means that because of the blood, when the destroyer passes by, he will not allow him. He would not permit him. He would not, he could not, he forbade him and hindered him to go into the house. Now, I'm just going to tell you that this Passover thing has always been personal to me because I'm the oldest child. And I realized that what my mom and daddy did that day would have been everything for me. My daddy's not the oldest child. My dad would have been fine. My mom is not the oldest child. They could have said, well, I just don't think that this is really going to happen. I don't think one Sunday's going to matter. I don't think just obeying God just this one time is going to be a big deal. But it was my life. It would have been everything to me as the oldest child. And I'm just going to tell you today, listen, every child, every one of us, listen, I don't want one child to be suffering in this world. I want to suffer them to come into Jesus Christ. How does any child, listen, we live in an epidemic of brain problems in our nation. We call it social stigmas. You can call it whatever you want. You know what the problem is? It's people living without God. This brain that God made don't process things. You can tell it a bunch of lies, and it circles around, buffering all the time, not knowing which way to turn, not knowing what to trust in, not knowing anything about what's going on, because it's wondering who's going to ever tell me truth. Without Jesus Christ, people come to the place where they start thinking in themselves, is this life even worth it? Is this all there is? Suffer the little children. And this is what he gets to. He says, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know, if you're here today and you're an adult, and you say, I'm thinking with an adult mind, and I don't think I need Jesus. What you need to do is humble yourself as a child. Back when you were a child, you realized, do you know, I'm going to tell you, as I was a boy, I could not have slaughtered the lamb by myself. I could not have gotten the blood. I could not have put it in a bowl. I couldn't have reached the top of the doorpost if I wanted to as a boy. My daddy would have had to step up and do that. And for me to realize that if my dad and earthly people love me that much, you know, there's a wonderful picture that the Father in heaven, when he made a picture and said, listen, we think that lamb pictures, but listen, he said, I'm going to take the firstborn. But the only reason God is still righteous and can do that is because God gave his firstborn for the sins of the world. When we pictured and wiped that on the doorpost of our heart and we didn't accept some lamb, we accepted the lamb. We accepted Jesus, the firstborn, the son, the very son of God, who laid his life down and applied his blood to the mercy seat in heaven to pay for my sin and your sin. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, when I read this story, it just something melts something inside of me, because as the firstborn of my family, I realized that, boy, it would have meant something to me that day as they painted that. And I can tell you, all the way till today, I remember the day that I purposefully walked an aisle. I humbled myself as a child, but I made an adult decision to paint the doorpost of my heart and welcome Jesus in. See, he suffered for me, but I remember that day that I suffered and opened the door and said, you're welcome to come in. I won't hinder you from coming in. I won't stop you. You come on. I suffered Jesus. I suffered him to be my Savior because he suffered for me. Have you done that today? Is there a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you still suffering in your own mind and heart, wondering what will happen to you in the future? Let me tell you what the Bible says will happen to every creature that does not call upon the name of the Lord. They will be cast into hell because of their sin. But because Jesus suffered and died and paid for your sin, you can pass from death unto life. You can humble yourself as a little child and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and paint the doorposts of your heart. And when the destroyer shows up, Jesus will say, no, that one's mine. That one's mine. He's paid for. Folks, I don't know about you, but a great picture in Scripture today. We live this life, and boy, we do think life is precious. But how precious is your eternal life? If life is precious here, what does forever mean for every child? What does forever mean for you? Do you know where you'll spend forever? Will you spend it in heaven? You will if you've accepted Jesus Christ. But if you've not accepted him, if you've never suffered him and accepted him as your Savior, then the Bible says the place that you're headed is the devil's hell. And today I stood and preached. And I preached it to you so that you would make that decision. My prayer, before I ever stepped in the pulpit, before I ever left my house this morning, is that people would come today and understand what the word suffer meant, and that they would suffer Jesus to come into their heart and to their life, that they would, like little children, they would humble themselves and accept Jesus Christ. I realize that as an adult, it's hard for us to say that we need anything, but I'm so thankful for the day that I realized and I told everybody, I need Jesus above everything else. He's the only way. He said he's the only life. The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, is what Jesus said. Have you accepted him today? With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, as the musicians come, the message may have seemed like it was preached in a hurry this morning. But what is definitely, I mean, it's pertinent. We must, again, are you suffering today without Jesus, or have you suffered him to come in and be a part of your heart? You know, you got to be like a small child. You say, what do you mean like a small child? It means to have faith, to trust in somebody else, to do something for you. Today, if you're not saved, I beg you to trust and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you are saved today, boy, we ought to pray. And we ought to try to get out of the way or encourage others to come to Jesus Christ by inviting them to church, inviting them to be a part of this campaign, going and standing for life. Whatever it is that God spoke to your heart about today, I beg you to do it. But if you're here and you need to be saved, I'm going to step to the front. Would you meet me in the front? Let me take a Bible to show you how to be saved. Would you do that this morning? Let's stand to our feet. As Brother Burt begins to sing, if you need to be saved, would you meet me here in the front?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that. just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you need to be saved, I just want to give you some instruction this morning if you're not sure what you ought to do right now. And right now, this is an invitation, and I invite you to step out and come to the front. And let me take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you do that now while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and folks are praying for you to get saved right now. If you know you need to be saved, step out and come. Step out and come, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich is healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
This morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, just let me say this as we end the invitation this morning. If you need to be saved and you couldn't bring yourself to step out and come forward today, would you let us take time right after the service? Just come down and meet me down here and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. It's something sometimes it seems so hard, but the first step of faith is so big. If you'll just step out and just say, "Preacher, I need to know that," I can tell you, listen, you'll be so glad you did. You don't have to suffer anymore with the wondering, where will I spend eternity? You can know that you know that you know that heaven will be your home. Let me encourage you to do this. I know that many of you may call it suffering. Pastor used to always say, go get a hot dog. And so some of you may suffer with Taco Bell or something else that's out there close. But I'll just say this. Every soul, every child that is saved because we stand out there at 2 o'clock is worth whatever it is. It's going a little bit harder. So 2 o'clock. All right, a lot of our buses are going to go out, and they're going to come back and meet us there. So you say, well, ain't going to be much of a crowd right at 2 o'clock. As soon as the buses get back, it'll build, all right? So come and stand or sit. You say, "Preacher, I can bring a chair." Absolutely, bring a chair. You can even bring an umbrella if you don't have enough faith. Amen? Yeah, I recommend it, because if you're standing on the end with the unjust, you may get rained on. Amen. We're going to close in prayer this morning. Just let me say this. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's be in prayer about this storm, but let's show up at 2 o'clock and stand for life. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the families. Lord, I pray that this morning was an encouragement to our families that stood up for their family, and they made a vow to you this morning, Lord, and they dedicated their children. Now, Lord, help us to dedicate our time to the unborn lives, Lord, that may be in jeopardy, that's out there, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us as we stand there, Lord, that you would give divine appointments as folks drive by, that people that needed to see those signs would drive by, Lord. Help us to be faithful, Lord. I pray you'd open a window in heaven and let us stand on the side of the road and stand dry, Lord, and be amazement to everyone that your people are standing there for you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.